It's good to see everyone here this morning, and we come here to worship and study together as God's people, and it is a great blessing and a great opportunity to be able to do so. This morning, we're going to look for a few moments at the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, and of course it was written primarily by King David, not all of it, but most of it was. And in Psalm 37 verse 5, David says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday." So we look at this and realize that God wants us and has done everything in His power to bring us to Him, to be reconciled to Him from our sins, to commit ourselves to Him, to His service and to His worship. And so we want to do this, and yet sometimes we want to be saved eternally, but we want to kind of commit ourselves to our way first and then kind of go to God later on. And maybe sometimes that's the way we look at things. But our faith in Him has to be strong at all times if we're truly going to please God and not ourselves. And so all things that we do, whether good or bad, whether the best times in life or the worst times in life, we need to commit our lives, our service to the Lord in all that we do. Over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." God wants us to come to Him. He wants us to follow Him and commit ourselves to Him every day in our life. And in fact, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, the Bible tells us there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So God is always there for us. He is our Creator. He created the universe in which we live. He created everything within it, both physically and spiritually. And so since that is true, we have to be willing to commit our ways and our service to Him if we're going to be pleasing to Him and to receive the reward and the blessing that He has promised to us. So we have to be willing to do so. And we're going to look this morning at Psalms chapter 37 as to how the Bible tells us this is to be done. There are several steps, if you will, about how we are to serve God. Now, we know in the New Testament there are specific things that we are commanded to do, to believe and to obey, to be right with God. But in the general terminology here, there are several things that God has said that we, if we'll do these things, He's not only going to bless us now, but He's going to bless us for all of eternity. The first thing is Psalms 37, verse 1. And He says there, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." Now we might think, well, okay, we don't have to worry about that much. But you realize many people in this world, they are concerned about if we're trying to be faithful to God and serve God. Sometimes people are worried about what somebody will do to them or what they will say about them. Or even sometimes maybe they'll tell false things about them because they're trying to serve God. But it's going to happen. So David in this passage says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." You know, we look around and see sometimes and we wonder why that people are doing so many bad things in this world and yet seemingly they're profiting so greatly from them. Well, he says, don't look at that. Don't worry about that. God eventually is going to set those things right. If we'll put our patience and our faith in Him, He's going to make sure that everything comes out to our best if we're faithful to Him. And we don't need to worry about those things. We have to realize that there are those things that are always around us that are good and always around us that are bad. And we need to understand that because we live in a world that is filled with sin and difficulty and problems and troubles. Because sin overcomes so many people in this world. But if you look at James chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is but is earthly and sensual and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So that's what David is saying here. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of iniquity. And yet sometimes, again, we look around and see people doing bad things and all of that, and they seem to be prospering in this world. And yet God knows what's going on. God understands them. He understands us. He says, don't fall into the trap of thinking all of that's right, because God someday is going to set it right for us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, at the end of the book there of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And what is the conclusion of the whole matter? Don't worry about the world around us. But he says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, because God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So someday there's going to be a judgment. So as David said, don't fret about evildoers around us. Don't be envious of the workers of iniquity. So stay away from that. Try to do right no matter what. And if we're faithful to God, he's going to bless us now and for all of eternity. Now another thing that we do to commit our ways to the Lord is to trust the Lord and do good for all that are around us. And Psalms 37 verse 2, he says, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and the wither as the green herb. That's where we're not to fret about the evildoers or be envious of workers of evil, because sooner or later they're going to be cut down. God's going to take care of them in due time. We don't have to take vengeance upon others, because we're told several times in the Bible, don't take vengeance upon others, because vengeance belongs to God, and he will repay. And so he says, for they shall see it soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. In other words, put our faith and our trust and our confidence in the Lord. Those three words, even though they're different words, they go back to the same idea. There is trust, and we trust someone that if they tell us they're going to do something, they're going to do it. If they tell us, like God says, is going to bless us, he's going to bless us. That's his promise, and we have to trust in that. There is faith in knowing it's going to happen, even though we can't see it in the future, because we can't see the future. But God does see the future, and he's promised he's going to bring that to us. And there has to be confidence in his word. The word confidence comes from two Latin words meaning to have faith along with. And along with here means the word and the teaching of God. And so he says we're to put our faith and our trust in him every day that we live. In the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 3, and verse 5, Solomon, David's son, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now notice there, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and we agree with that part. And then he says, lean not upon your own understanding. Now sometimes we maybe get built up in our own false pride a little bit and think, well, I can do this. I can handle these things. I don't need any help from anybody. Well, Solomon says, no, that's not the way it is. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Now, God gives us an ability to reason and to understand, and he expects us to use it the best that we can. But part of that is understanding that God will take care of us if we are faithful to him, if we do indeed commit our ways to him. And he says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. God will direct our paths. He will be with us in making the right decisions and using the understanding that we have but we have to place our faith and our trust in Him. And He says, don't worry about those around because they're going to be cut down like the grass of the field and they're going to wither as the green herb. So the third one then is Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37 and verses 2 and 3. And he says then in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good and dwell that dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. In other words, do what God wants. Don't worry about those who are done wrong, but follow those who are doing right, which is God and His way. And He's going to be faithful to bless us every day that we live. And then in verse 4, he says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. So he says, delight yourselves in God. Not just think that there is a God somewhere, and hopefully He'll bless us if we try to do right. He is going to do that if we're faithful to Him. That's His promise. It's His blessing. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. Now, that may not be always easy because sometimes we may have to suffer for the cause of Christ and for our service to Him. But he says, your delight is beyond just everyday things and we're high one day and low another. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about no matter what happens in this life, we belong to the Lord and He's going to bless us. Jesus wanted that for us. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants us to have the best possible life now in this life that we're living, but also for all of eternity. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And he wrote that in a Roman prison. And he couldn't leave. He was imprisoned. And yet he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, he says that not because he enjoyed being in prison, but he wanted to understand that no matter what happens around, God's going to take care of him. And so we understand then that God will be with us if we'll follow Him in every day that we live. Now, you turn over now to Psalms chapter 1, the very first chapter of Psalms in verse 1. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's the blessing of the Lord upon us if we follow Him. If we delight in God's will and delight in doing His will to the best of our ability, He's going to bless us every day. That's His promise. And so in Psalms 37, He wants us to understand that. But also, we have to depend upon the Lord. It's not just going through the saying we're going to do this, but actually carrying it out. Psalms 37, verse 5, we read at the first. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So we are to commit and depend upon Him in all things that we are. The word commit means we make a conscious decision that our life is going to be in His way and in His hands every day that we live. And that's what He wants. He wants us to commit ourselves, our life, our service to Him. And we have to understand the other side of that is if we do so, He is going to take care of us. And if the Lord cannot take care of us, no one's going to be able to do it. He's going to be there with us. Yes, again, we may have to suffer some time. We may be persecuted. Bad things may happen because we've made that decision. But He's still going to be with us, and He's never going to turn His back upon us. And we know that. We'll turn over to one of the best-known passages of the Bible, Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now you think about that. That's the promise that God made through David. And David was not a man that everything came good for him. It wasn't a man that he didn't have to ever worry about anything. He constantly had to battle to be the king of Israel. Even people in his own household rebelled against him. And he had all of these problems and troubles, sometimes brought upon him by his own sin. And yet he was faithful to God all the way through it. And so when he says in chapter 37, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He wasn't just saying, okay, you go do this. He was one that had experienced it in his own life. And so he gives that message to you and me. But also in Psalms 37, verses 6 and 7, he said, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. And so he says then, be still in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Now that's not something we always can do in our life, because we want something good to happen. We want it to happen right now on our timetable. And yet that's not the way God views things. God doesn't look at the way of life that we live in the way that we do. He looks at it in the time and opportunity as he is our all wise and understanding God does. And so we have to be patient. The word patience, as it's used in the Bible, we usually think of patience as simply waiting for something. Well, that's part of it. But the other part of that is we wait for it, for God to fulfill his promise to us. But also, not only shall we wait for it, but we have to be patient in understanding that we may have to endure difficulty and persecution and problems, but God's still going to fulfill his promise, no matter how long it takes for him, because God doesn't look at time as we do. He is going to fulfill it. If you go back to the book of Genesis, for example, and you find that God promised Abraham you're going to have a son, and through that son there's going to be all of the world going to be blessed eventually because Christ is going to come. Well, Abraham had to wait 25 years for God to fulfill that promise, but he did exactly as he said. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 3 and verse 8, says, as the day, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. In other words, God is not restricted by time. So if he makes a promise to us, we may not see it immediately as we think it should be, but it's going to be done. In Isaiah chapter 40, and the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40 kind of brings about this idea. And the prophets of Isaiah's time, someone time would be told to prophesy, and they could not see the fulfillment of what was going to come, but they knew it was going to come. In Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 31, Isaiah 40 and verse 31, he says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We have to be patient with what God wants us to do, and patient and even enduring difficulty sometime in order to commit our lives and our service to him, and he's going to be with us every day. Now, Jeremiah the prophet foretold all the way through the book of Jeremiah that the kingdom of Judah is going to be destroyed. It's going to be conquered by the Babylonians, and they're going to be taken into captivity for 70 years. And he warned them over and over and over again for approximately 40 years. And when the time came that they were going to be destroyed, God let Jeremiah live to see the actual destruction of the kingdom of Judah in which he lived his entire life. And you think that Jeremiah might have, after all the persecution he went through and all the difficulties he did, he might have been overwhelmed with joy, thinking, okay, you've persecuted me, now God's going to get you, and he's going to take care of you. But that's not the way that Jeremiah looked at it. In Lamentations, which he wrote after the destruction of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, in Lamentations 3, verse 25, he says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Now that's a man that had seen his friends and relatives in the city he lived in, the nation he lived in, destroyed, and most of them carried off into slavery in Babylon, and much else destroyed, and thousands of people killed. He said, we have to wait upon the Lord because God's going to be with us. And so he says here in Psalms 37 and verse 6, is rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers, because the man who brings the wicked schemes to pass. He says, don't worry about what's going on around. Dedicate ourselves individually to the Lord, and he's going to bless us. We also have to understand, look at what verse 8 says here in Psalm 37. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Now, God gave us the ability to become angry. It's not wrong for the right reasons to sometimes to be angry or to be upset about things that are not right and should be made right. But if we allow that to be the ruling part of our life, it tears down what we are and our love for God and for each other. We have to be willing to try to curb our anger with God's help, and we need to do that. Again, he gave us, that's one of the emotions that God gave to us. But we have to curb that like anything else of all the emotions that God has given. So it is a God-given emotion, and it still has to be controlled. Well, God gives us an understanding of how that's to be done. If you turn over, for example, for a moment to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, and if you begin chapter 4 and verse 26, Paul says there, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." In other words, don't allow anger to continue in your life all the time. You know, leave it behind, forget about it, and go on to something. Well, sometimes that's hard to do, but if it was easy to do, God would not have to command us to work on that. But he says then in chapter 4 of Ephesians in verse 31, he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." These are all things that cause us difficulty in life. He says, yes, it's okay to be angry sometimes because there are some things that we need to be angry about. But don't let that overcome everything else. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Well, what's the other side of that? "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." In other words, we are to forgive. We're not to hold on to that anger in our life every day. We're to let it go and place our faith and our trust in the Lord that he is going to make things right for us when the time comes. But also there's another thing, he says, Psalms 37 and verse 9. He says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Jesus quotes that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now the meek, unlike the way the world defines that word doesn't mean weak and cowardly and everything. That's the way they usually use it. But that's not what that word means. It means a strength that is willingly submissive to the will of God. And that's the way Jesus promised that we would be faithful to Him. And in so doing, God's going to bless us now and for all of eternity. It means that we have a peace of mind and of heart that comes with believing in God and being faithful to Him. Philippians 4, Paul talks about the peace that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your lives in Christ Jesus. God wants us to have that kind of peace of heart and of mind. And in so doing, then, He's going to bless us now and for all of eternity. If you turn for a moment over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He will exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. He cares for you and me individually, because we are His people. And if we commit ourselves to Him and to serve Him, He's going to bless us now and for all of eternity. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be forgiven. He wants us to have the best life now that we possibly can. But we have to make the decision to follow Him. He's not going to change because we think He should. We have to change to fit His will. In Psalms 37, skip down to verses 39 and 40. David here makes the conclusion of the message. He says, but salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. So we go back to verse 5 again. And he says, commit your ways to the Lord. That's what we're to do today, to believe Him, to obey Him, and follow Him each day. And by the grace and the love and the mercy of God, we will be forgiven and have the promise of eternal life. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, David put it in there for us to commit our ways to Him. We have an opportunity because the invitation is always open. And it's open now. If you need to come, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing?